Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I overflow. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I overflow. Here's my cup, yes, fill it up and make me whole. And fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, feed me till I'm overflow. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
I mean, how many can pray that tonight?
Amen.
Fill your cup. Amen. I think he's probably more willing to do that than we are willing for him to do that.
Sure.
Amen. So we want that. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight, to see each one of you out midweek. It's good to see Brother Brian again this week.
Amen.
Bless you, brother. Glad to have him with us.
Yes.
I told him last week he's was just a newcomer just for about 5 minutes, and after that you're part of us. So I guess he took me at my word for that. So it's good to be here tonight. I want to just a simple thought tonight. Psalms 23. I want to read that chapter, and I'm going to title this the Psalms 23 Revelation. Psalms 23 Revelation. Most of us could probably say this from heart. And unless you ask me to do it, and then I stutter. So, but anyway, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you just for even this little passage of scripture we just read, how it's weathered through all the ages. Lord, it's just as real tonight as it always was when it was written, Lord, as David penned this. And so tonight, Lord, we just pray that you allow us to look into these words and maybe speak to our hearts. Lord, cause us just to see something greater, a depth and a reality today of how these scriptures are so true in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. We're all familiar with King David. We call him King David. You know, there was a time when he hadn't made it to be king yet. And David was a shepherd.
Yep.
Right? Okay. And you know, as a shepherd, of course, he had a lot of other brothers there that maybe looked like they'd been better off of being kings than him. But he had this job where he would take care of his father's sheep. I don't know what the other brothers did. Maybe they did at some point. But in the story, as it comes to us, we see that they were, you know, doing something. And when their dad called them, they didn't even think about calling David. And so, of course, the prophet said, well, do you have another one? Because the Lord's not accepted any of these sons. Don't you have one? He said, well, I got one more. And he's back here taking care of the sheep.
Yeah.
Right.
The prophet Samuel said, go get him. Right? And as David come, the prophet runs to him and anoints him to be king over Israel.
Right.
And so David was a shepherd. And by being a shepherd, he was very familiar with sheep. He was very familiar with their characteristics, what they are, and so their natures, and the fact that they didn't have any abilities pretty much at all. You know, we understand that sheep, a horse can kick, a dog can bite, or a bird can fly away, but sheep don't have any defenses.
Right.
You know, they really, they can just run a short distance and they're give out, and they can't defend themselves, and they're just, you know, we know that that's their identification. And so just David would be very familiar with the needs and the failures and all the things that sheep would have, how to take care of them and so forth. And so he understood what the sheep were, and he understood what it meant to be a shepherd and what the shepherd meant to those sheep. Because basically, without a shepherd, sheep are just food for the wolves.
Sure.
Right? And so David was very familiar with that, how that they would need constant attention, and how the sheep would, you know, they aren't very smart. I seen a video years ago, maybe some of you have seen this, and Brother Eugene Braun did it, and it was like somebody had dumped a big pile of dirt out of a dump truck, and there was a whole bunch of these sheep, and they were all running around that dirt, and this sheep was following that sheep, and that sheep was following that one, all the way around until it was following him. And that's what they do. Sheep don't know no better. They just follow, and they have to be led, and they follow one another. And so you have to have a shepherd, somebody that can get involved and can make a difference in their taking care of them and so forth. And so David would be very familiar with that, and very familiar with what the responsibilities and the care that a shepherd would have for his sheep. And we know how that there are such thing as unruly sheep, and
right.
How that Brother Ram tells us that if there would be one that wouldn't listen, that sometimes that shepherd would have to take his rod and break a leg,
right?
You know, break that leg of that sheep, and then put that sheep up on his shoulders, and so that sheep through his trial of having a broke leg would learn to trust the shepherd more.
Right.
So David was familiar with all those things. And so David was also familiar, as a human being, is familiar with what it's like as human beings, and all the troubles and trials that come our way, and how that the enemy lays in wait for us to try and to destroy us. And there's troubles that come, and it might be finances, it might be sickness, it might be whatever. And so David would be familiar with that also. And so David came to the conclusion that we people are sheep.
Right.
We're just like sheep.
Right?
Right? He come to that conclusion and realize that if it's not for the hand of the Lord to be our shepherd and help us, we're just like sheep. We're helpless. We might think that we got everything in control, but that's to our own detriment to think that.
Right.
And so he come to the conclusion so he could write this and say, the Lord is my shepherd. And so he come to that understanding to know that we needed to have the Lord to be our shepherd. And so I believe to David, this was a revelation to him. It wasn't just head knowledge. You know, head knowledge is fine, but head knowledge cannot take you where we need to go,
right?
And so we know how that Jesus is telling them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say this and some say that, right? Some say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he brought it down to a personal relationship. He said, who do you say I am?
Right.
And you have to understand, Jesus standing there, yeah, he was in flesh. He was, you know, they would look at him like the woman at the well or different ones, and may just think he's just another man, a Jewish man or something like that. And so, but what he was the living Word. He was the Word for the hour, made flesh, being lived in front of them.
That's right.
Right? And what they needed to know, what they needed to see and understand, that this was Messiah.
Right.
They needed to have a revelation to understand this is not just a man, mm-hmm. not just a Jewish man. And so when he said that, and Peter said, "Well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you."
Right.
Not flesh and blood. You couldn't tell it. You couldn't say it. You couldn't write it. You could. It didn't come that way.
Right.
It came by revelation from God.
Right. Yeah.
And we understand that upon this rock, the rock of revelation, the church is built upon that, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so I believe David had a revelation that God, that the Lord was his shepherd,
yeah.
right? And so just kind of want to kind of just talk about those things. And, you know, I think this is one of the greatest revelations a person can have, to know that you belong to the Lord and that he's responsible for you, that you are just like a sheep to him. You're helpless, and if he's not your shepherd, you're in big trouble,
right?
Right? Because you can't shepherd yourself, can't lead yourself.
Right.
So, this was one of the greatest revelations that we can have. And truly, it would have to be a revelation. And, you know, we understand that faith has faith in something, in the Word. It's not head knowledge, but it's in God. When God has revealed something to you, and then you can have faith in that. You can sink your teeth of faith into something God has showed you. And you know, like we understand, a mystery is something that's real, but there's revealed, but there's a supernatural element that still remains there.
Right.
And so you know that you see it. You know God has shown it to you. You see it clearly, but you can't really go and share it with someone. You know it has to be revealed to them from God also.
Right.
And you could try. I've done it all through all the years of ministry, all excited to go to share something with somebody, and they just don't see it, you know. And maybe later on they do.
Yeah.
Right? So it's all the revelation, you know, and the scripture tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
And so without revelation, right, we can't even serve God properly. The scripture tells us you can't even call Jesus Christ except by the Holy Ghost. It's right. revealed to you, right? People can say, "Oh, he's the Messiah," but unless there's a spiritual revelation working in their life to reveal that to them, they're just doing it with head knowledge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so David had a revelation that the Lord was his shepherd. And I think we should have that same revelation. So much so that as we go through life, and life throws its curveballs at us, and all the things that happen, the trials and tribulations that come, that you know, when those things happen, it's all too easy for us to identify with the trial that we're going through. Right? And be just totally consumed with that. As humans, we're just totally consumed. I know that, like tonight, I'm sure that the devil wants the Goff family to be totally consumed with this situation that happened there to their child today.
Sure.
Right? But you know, and so it's so easy to identify when those things come like that. And so the accuser's always there.
Right.
He's always there when something happens. He's always there to tell you, "Well, God doesn't love you. That's why that happened." Or you did something wrong and he's punishing you. Or you know, you're not worthy and whatever. He's got a whole list of things to tell you.
Yeah.
And he's very, as we know, a very good adversary, right?
Yeah.
And so, but when you know that the Lord is your shepherd, and you have a revelation of that, that revelation can supersede anything that the natural, anything that the trials can try to say to you, that Satan can try to say to you. You know, it bypasses all of that because you know he is your shepherd.
Right.
And so, and that revelation of knowing that he is your shepherd, you know, it grows. Brother Graham tells us that, you know, when we get the Holy Ghost, it's kind of like it's about the size of a button.
Right.
Just a little bitty, but it grows.
Right.
And, you know, our revelation of Jesus Christ, of the Word in our day made flesh, living in us and among us, that revelation becomes stronger, and we understand it more as we walk with the Lord.
Right.
Just like Enoch walked with the Lord. And it becomes stronger and more clear to us. And the stronger that revelation is, the stronger your faith in that revelation can be.
Right.
And so as you walk through life and you see troubles and trials come, and maybe you're distraught for a while, but then you see the Lord come and you see Him move on it, and then you look back on it and you see that was God.
Right.
And He was there all along, and I thought that I was amiss and everything was so messed up, but yet He was there. And after a while, He showed me and confirmed to me and reassured me that He was there. And I saw that He was there.
Amen.
My wife and I'm sure it affected her the same way, but when we had our first son, and he died in childbirth, and had longed to have one for so long. A son, had two daughters first, and so, you know, I was pretty heartbroken. So was she, you know. And so I've told you this testimony, and you know, it's raining, drizzling all the day, and it was having a funeral out there at the cemetery. And but my wife asked Brother Sidney to sing that song, "Sunlight." And when he stepped up under that podium, we're underneath there, and it's raining all day. It's just a pretty good, not a downpour, but a pretty good drizzle, you know. And to me, it was just so sad. Even the weather was telling me that my son was, you know. And so we were going through that. And when Brother Sidney stepped up there and began to sing that song, a hole opened up in the cloud. It's like a spotlight that's just shined right down on top of that pavilion all the time that he was singing that song.
Right.
And as soon as that he was done, that light, that closed up, and it never quit raining, but it was just a light.
Yeah.
Right there. And you could hear the people, the crowd, you could tell that it moved them because they saw that. And so I said all that to say this, that I walked away from that experience that knowing that the Lord was saying to me, "I can't take this away from you.
Yeah.
I can't resurrect your son, but I want you to know I'm with you."
Yeah.
You know, and so when you realize that, you look back on situations in your life and you see things and you go, and sometimes you say, "Lord, I'm sorry for doubting that you were there."
Right.
It's like that poem we're all familiar with, the footprints in sand or whatever.
Yes.
And the times that you look at it and you're thinking, the hardest times of my life, it was just, He left me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't leave you.
No.
He carried you.
That's right.
Right. And so that's the once you have that revelation, realize the Lord is my shepherd. He's watching over me. He's taking care of me. And so, in this whole thing in the scriptures there, not one thing does it say anything in this 23rd Psalms about the sheep's ability.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about the sheep's ability. It's all about the Lord is my shepherd. Right? Because David understood what it meant to be a shepherd and what it meant to sheep to have a shepherd.
Right.
Right? And we know Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice."
Yeah.
They won't listen to another one. I take great confidence in knowing that. That no matter what Satan wants to throw our way, God has promised that we will always recognize His voice and we won't follow after something else.
Right?
Right? And with just the fact that He's moved in our life and brought us as far as He has in all the trials and things we've been through, we know that He has spoken and we hear His voice.
Amen.
And how wonderful that is to know that He's called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. And so we believe that. And so when you know that He's your shepherd, and so I'll ask you this, is He a good shepherd?
Amen.
Right? Does He know what He's doing?
Yes.
Does He ever make a mistake?
No.
No, He doesn't. And so we could take that and say then that I know that no matter what I'm going through, the Goff family tonight, in that hospital right now, no matter what they go through, no matter what you go through, is you understand that He's your shepherd and He cannot fail. He knows exactly what He's doing.
Right.
He knows exactly how to let things come your way to purify you, to test you, to try you. He knows what He's doing. He's not making a mistake. Then you can stand back and say, "Lord, even if I don't understand that, I do know that You are my shepherd.
Amen.
And You're in control. And this thing that come across me today came across your desk first."
Right.
And so we have to believe that, have to understand that, that He doesn't make mistakes and He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
I said a while ago, you have unruly sheep that won't listen sometimes.
Yeah.
And we understand that. But even that, if you're a sheep of His pasture and you're unruly, He's got his rod and he's got his staff. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes we're unruly. And sometimes he may have to break a leg. I'll tell you something one time. When I was up at Lima, Ohio for family camp, and I don't remember even what the service was about, but I remember praying. I said, Lord, if you got to break a leg, do it. If that's what you need to do to get me where you would need me to be.
Right.
And that was the trip that on my way home, I had that infection in my leg, and I wound up in the hospital for 6.5 days.
Yeah.
And I look back on it. I said, thank you, Lord, because I was able to, I didn't have to work. I was laying in that hospital and it gave you a good time to think about things, you know, and to seek God and those sorts of things. But you look back on those kinds of things and you say, thank you, Lord, because you're my shepherd.
Right. Yeah.
You take care of me. Even when I don't realize it, you're taking care of me.
Right.
Amen. And so even if you're an unruly sheep, sometimes we've all been that, right?
Yeah.
We can all say that.
Sure.
He still is a shepherd that knows what he's doing. He knows how to work with his sheep and to take care of them. And so when you have that kind of revelation, as you get more seasoned in the Lord, then you begin to realize those things. And when stuff comes your way, you can just stop back and you can say, we're trusting him.
Amen.
Right, Brother Daniel?
Right, Brother.
We're trusting him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. No matter what comes.
Amen.
You know, this world, I guess you haven't looked, this world is absolutely falling apart. It's burning down, right? But as the scripture said, look up, lift up your... We can do that. We can lift up our heads. Everybody's like, somebody said the other day, and I said, I spent all day Monday planting stuff in my garden. It was just wore out, you know? And somebody said, well, you're probably going to need it. And I'm well, why? World War III, right? They're all... Maybe it is World War III. We know it's going to happen sometime, but even if the missiles do go off, he's still my shepherd.
Right?
Right? You see what I'm saying? No matter what happens, he's still our shepherd.
Right.
And so when we can believe that, then that revelation begins to override all these things,
yeah.
And that confidence begins to stay there with you. Amen.
Yes.
We just appreciate the Lord.
Amen.
So he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in want.
Right.
And you realize in our lives we have all kinds of things we want. Just got to have that new truck. Got to have that new rifle or that new furniture set or whatever it is. We're just all the time just got to. Mm-hmm. But in him we have no wants.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? He will withhold no good thing from you. Now we might think a new truck's good, but if he doesn't, right? He might think that you need to keep the clunker for a while. I've done it many times, you know. I'm the kind of guy to keep a truck for 12 years before I get another one. I've done it. My wife said, yep, that's right. You know, we'll keep the same phone number for 20 years, you know. But, you know, that's just how I am. But we have all kinds of things, all kinds of times where we want things.
Yeah.
And it's us. That's why, you know, I try to instill in my son, you know, it's like, yeah, I've got some money in the bank and I could go buy a new four-wheeler, but I don't want to do it that way. I want to ask the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. I want to ask him and say, Lord, is it okay? Mm-hmm. Even buying pickup trucks. I when it comes time to buy a truck, I'll put it before the Lord and it might be 2-3 months and he'll bring it to me.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And so, you know, we have all kinds of things we think we want, but in the Lord, we don't have any wants.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because he's taking care of it. He's our shepherd. And he knows exactly what to let us have and what to let us we can't have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, as a sheep, you know, that's a good place to be. To lie down in green pastures just so that you can sit there and you can eat and you can rest and you can eat and you can rest and you can eat and you can rest. And isn't that what God does? We come and we eat the Word of God and we rest. The whole Christian experience is based upon rest. We're not trying to work our way into the kingdom of heaven. It's by the grace of God.
Right.
And so we eat and we rest and we eat and we rest in green pastures.
Amen.
You know, not one of us said, you know what, I think today I'm just going to get a new revelation. I'm going to open my Bible up and I'm just going to be filled with a with understanding that I've not had. It doesn't happen that way. It comes from God.
Right.
Yeah.
He knows how to give you the rest and the food to eat, eating the living word. He leadeth me beside still waters. I understand that, you know, sheep are nervous, right? They are nervous. But even as they're, even you know, Brother Bim talks about being out there and watching a sheep out in the field, and he was watching it. It was so peaceful, and all of a sudden it got nervous. And he began to, well, what's the matter with that fella? And he got to looking around, and there was a wild animal, a wolf or something, that was sneaking up. And that sheep, even though he didn't see it, it had a scent. He knew something was wrong, and it still got all nervous, you know, and so forth. And so without a shepherd there, then he's just a prey for this wolf or whatever. But we understand that sheep are nervous, and they don't want even, they're so nervous, they don't even want to drink from water that's rippling, like water that's rolling by. And, you know, they just, so understand that a shepherd could put up barriers or whatever out in the edge of the water so that the rippling water goes around, but the water right here is still.
Yeah.
Right? And so he knows we're nervous. He knows our condition. You know, the scripture says he knows, but we are but dust. He understands. He was tempted and tested and tried in every way that we would be. So he knows how to help us as we go through our trials and temptations. And so we know that. But so he understands what it takes to get a sheep to eat.
Right.
Get a sheep to drink. Get a sheep to be able to rest. He understands how to do those things. And so, you know, a good shepherd, a good minister over his congregation, he wants peace and unity in his congregation, right? Because you understand that if there's turmoil, that limits what the Lord can do, right? You know, I think it was on the thing there, Brother Daniel's got it on the slideshow there about how pleasant it is that brethren dwell together in unity.
Right.
It's like the anointing oil that was poured on Aaron. Well, you know, that preserved him to be able to go into the presence of God with that oil. And so David was saying there and that it's how pleasant it is that brethren can dwell together in unity, because when there's unity there, then the Holy Spirit can come down upon that and we can come into the presence of God, right? And so he said it's like the dew of Hermon. He said, because for there the Lord commanded his blessing. So in peace and in unity, the Lord can come and move and command his blessing upon the people. But if there's turmoil, if the water's rippling, you understand? And so a shepherd wants peace and unity like the Lord. He doesn't want you in turmoil.
Right.
He wants you to trust in him, and he will lead you, right?
Yeah.
He will lead you to still waters. He will, because if you're unruly, right, you might have turmoil. But if you'll just trust him, no matter what's going on around you, he'll lead you to these still waters so you can drink and you can rest and you can eat.
Yeah.
He'll take care of you, as a shepherd. And so he says, he restoreth my soul. Isn't that what he's done in the whole gospel? Because
yes.
We fell and he's come back to restore us from where we fell from. Right? He's restoring our soul. Amen. He leads me into the path of righteousness. This is interesting. For his name's sake. Right?
Yeah.
He's going to make sure to lead you in paths of righteousness. He's not going to lead you through a bunch of nonsense and filth and evil living and all that. He leads you through the paths of righteousness. Why? Because that kind of lifestyle fits the name.
Right.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? Holy lifestyle.
Right.
Right? Where you're not doing the excesses of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life.
Right.
Right? That's the things that are in the world. He leads us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He does. And this is what I emphasize. He leadeth me. He does this.
Right.
He does all these things. Not one place did it say that we you know, it didn't say that we as a sheep come up there and, oh, please, you know, would you please lead? No, he does it.
Right.
Right? We are sheep of his pasture. He takes care of those things for us, and we just trust him, believe him, and marvel at the things that he does. You know, it just comes to mind there that, you know, and I know all others have heard this testimony, but, you know, when we were up there, it's been a little over a year ago, four-wheeler riding up there in the mountains, a bunch of us, me and Brother Tim, and a bunch of different ones, when Brother Rodney had that wreck. We was coming up that real steep thing. He was the last person in line. We'd all went up and was kind of on down, and, well, he had that flip over, and he cut his arm, and the blood was doing this. It looked like somebody had just sprayed it out across there, you know, and we knew something. I thought something, well, why is he not come up behind us? We're waiting for him, you know, and you know, we're out there, we're miles from civilization, no cell service. I already looked, my phone, there, nowhere out there, and probably at least 20-minute ride just back to a pickup truck, and probably 40-minute back to the hospital.
Right.
We're out there, and when we shut our engines off, you know, then we hear the screaming and crying for the other two guys that was back there, saw what happened, you know, and run back there, and I come over the hill, and there he is, and you know, I was out of breath from running, and I just slid down there, and all I could just say is, Lord, we need you, you know, and put a tourniquet on his arm, work our way back to the vehicle, put him in a truck, and bring him to the hospital, and you know the testimony. No deep wounds, not even stitches. And they sent me a picture of him sitting out at Cracker Barrel that night with a bunch of other people eating. Right?
Yeah.
When you're out there and you know there's nothing else,
right,
and you know our whole life, this whole world's coming that way.
Sure.
Because we're coming to that time where we realize there's nothing to help. It's him.
Right?
Right? But he's there.
Right.
He was out there on that hillside. There's somebody else out there besides a bunch of us brothers. Right?
Amen.
To make that, I mean, that wasn't just a cut. There was veins or something, because it was.
Right.
You're right. And by the time they get here, there was nothing like that there.
Right.
Right. And so, when you see those things happening like that, you know he does these things.
Right.
Right. It's not your government, not your education, not our abilities, but just him.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, I've said, it's kind of silly, I've said this, and it was a Christian movie where this was said, but I used to say, well, it ain't bragging if it's true.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just really his character.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just who he is.
Yeah.
He is life. Mm-hmm. He
right.
is healing.
Right.
He is comfort. He is peace. That's just who he is. And he can't be anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's just a good shepherd.
Right.
Right.
And so we just want to trust him and let him be that shepherd. And so he just does these things. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This whole earthly walk that we're in is the valley of the shadow of death.
Right.
To me.
Yeah.
But again, I know you've heard it. In order for there to be a shadow, that means there's light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not the valley of death, it's just a shadow.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Satan wants you to think, you know, the scripture says he's as a roaring lion. He's not a lion. We got a lion in the tribe of Judah.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
He's not.
Right.
But he wants you to think that.
Yeah.
Right? And he wants you to think that this is the valley of death, and it's not the valley, it's the valley of the shadow. Right? So he's there, but trying to mess our lives up, but there can't be a shadow unless there's light.
Yeah.
Right? And you know that if you could take all the darkness that this room could have at it at midnight and without a light, and you could just hold a candle, and all that darkness can't do anything
right.
against that little bitty candle.
Yeah.
Right? And so there might be a shadow there, but it's nothing. Right? Nothing. A shadow is really the absence of light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? The absence of our shepherd, you know, would be darkness, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he's promised to be there. He's there with us, and so
yeah.
We just appreciate that. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the scriptures tell us that if we don't receive chastisement from the Lord, then we're bastard children, we're not sons.
Right.
That's what it says. But that all of those he loves,
mm-hmm.
he will rebuke and chasten.
Yeah.
That's the message to our age,
yeah.
Laodicea. Right? Because in this age, this church world has got in such a situation throughout the ages, till Christ is on the outside knocking, trying to get back in. He wasn't even in his own church. They talk about him all the time, but the word has been put out.
Yeah.
Right? But he's standing there. And so he would have to come to this generation and bring a rebuke. He'd have to bring his rod and his staff. Right? And that's exactly what he had. That's why that ministry is so hated, because it had to bring correction. But without that correction, if God didn't send it, if he didn't get a hold of us and straighten us out, that would mean we're not children.
Right.
Right.
Right? So when David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen.
Why? Because you know that you belong to him if he'll whip you.
Right.
If he'll correct you, you know that you're his child. Because
yeah.
What if you didn't have that? Then yeah. You'd have to say, well. So it's a comfort to know that God loves you enough to say, stop that. You either stop it or I'm gonna stop you. You don't do that,
absolutely.
Right? And so he does. And so, and I love this one. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. And you know, in warfare, that's one of the first things they try to do, you know, to get people isolated and cut off your supply lines.
Right.
Get them all isolated where they can't get any help, cut all their supply line, and just starve them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually it'll get weak enough you can go in and take them over.
Right.
But the scripture said here that even though there's many enemies out here want to do that to us, but the scripture said that he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies.
That's
they
right.
might be all around us and have what they think is a supply line all cut off, but we've got a special supply.
That's right.
Amen.
And that God will come down and prepare a table for us in their presence and make them wonder, how is this person putting up with all this? How can this person have joy in their heart when they go through all these things?
Yeah.
It's because God has prepared a table for us.
Amen.
In the presence of all these things.
Amen.
And, you know, no matter what happens in the world, we've got these promises.
Yes.
Amen? That he'll prepare a table for us. And so, thou anointest my head with oil. As I said a while ago, how the anointing oil of Aaron, you know, I think they use an oil to, I know we would use, when we raised hogs, we would use oil to keep them from getting lice, pour it on there. Just use motor oil is what we used,
yeah.
You know, but oil helps keep things, pests and things like that, you know.
Right.
All these things mean things. And if we were all shepherds, we would understand more depth than what I could even begin to talk about. But he anoints our head with oil, our cup runneth over.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, the last thing saying there, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, it does not say, I will follow after goodness and mercy. That's not what it says.
Right.
It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me.
Right.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, sister, we're not the one doing this. We're not the ones that called us to be Christians.
Right.
He's the one that called us.
Amen.
And he has a purpose, and he intends for goodness and mercy. You might go through trials, but in his kingdom, in his economy, in preparation for where he's taking us, in that, in his realm, goodness and mercy follows us. He's there to make sure that it's poured out on us no matter what's happening. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we are the house of the Lord. We are the body, right? I will, in other words, it's saying, and I will be a believer. I will be a Christian. I will sing praises to him forever.
Yeah.
Amen. And we can go to Psalms 27. We'll read this. This is the These are scriptures Brother Branham read to us in the message of rapture. And as I've said so many times, that we would have never picked these scriptures out and say, this is going to be good scriptures for us to think upon right at time when the age is closing out and it's time for a rapture and all these things are going on. We probably wouldn't have picked this, but he did. And now we look at it and we realize, because in these times of trouble, the Lord has promised to be there and to do these things that we've been talking about, what we're going to read. So David says, the Lord is my light. Why? Because it's a dark day.
Right.
The Lord is my light. I can't look to government. Look what they've done. They can't handle nothing. They couldn't handle a hurricane. They can't handle any disasters, right? They can't handle, right? We don't look to them because the Lord is our light. Our light and our salvation. And because of that, who should we fear?
Right.
Right? If we know, like Paul said, if God be for us, then who can be against us?
Amen.
Right? And that's what David said. Who shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear hath torment, but perfect love casteth out fear.
Amen.
Right. Amen. When the wicked, even my enemies, and we have enemies that don't like us because of what we believe as Christians, right?
Okay.
And they're just building up their regimes and all their systems to try and you know what's coming. But when the wicked and even my enemies and my foes came up on me to eat up my flesh, what happens? Are they successful?
Yeah.
The scripture said they stumble and fell. This is what we can expect in this day. As everything's going the way it is, we can expect our shepherd to be there to make sure, because he's going to make sure they fall. They're not going to be successful at crushing this bride of Christ who believes in this glorious word.
Mm-hmm.
Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this situation, I'll be confident.
Right.
I'll be confident when all that happens. Amen. David says, there's one thing that I have desired of the Lord. Now, we could have all kinds of desires, but really when it comes right down to it, what's the one thing that we desire? And he tells you right there. The one thing that I desire, and that's what I'm going to seek after.
Right.
Right? And what is that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, like we just read there. Right, I can dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. So that's the one thing we seek is to be in the presence of God. And we as the Scripture said, we love His appearing. We love to see. We just want to see His beauty. We just want to see His word unfold and see Him doing the promises of this hour that He promised to do when everything's going the way it is. But yet He's there, faithful, a faithful and true witness. To show Himself here. And we love it. We love to see God confirming His word.
Right.
Bringing these things to pass. Showing us that He has that bride that's without spot or blemish. Because He's doing it.
Amen.
We love that. And so we just love to behold His beauty. And while we're in this body, in this temple, worshiping Him. And just to inquire and to learn more and to ask. And to seek Him and experience Him. That's all we really want, right? Because we know that's going to take us on into the next realm. For in a time of trouble, He shall hide me. Here's rapture, right? I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know. But I don't know. Don't need to know.
Right.
I just know that here it is. For in a time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. You know what a pavilion is, right? In the secret of His tabernacle. Right? The whole world can't see it.
Right.
Yeah.
They won't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, when a man and woman become one, they consummate. The whole world's not there. It's just
right.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a revelation.
Right.
A rock.
Right.
A revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when He does that, this is what we'll be saying. And now, my head is lifted up above my enemies round about me. They come, they gathered, they tried to destroy, but He lifted us up. He hid us away, and we can say, And now he has lifted us up above all of our enemies.
Right.
They've failed. They've not been successful. He's raptured us. He's taken us. Whatever he's done with us, he's kept us and preserved us. And so we can rejoice and sing praises continually for our God.
Amen.
For what he's done. Amen. Sing praises unto the Lord.
Amen.
And so we feel like that as God has shared this end time message with us, that we're already raptured. This already working. This belief and truth is already changing us. And someday our flesh will catch up.
Right.
We already feel like that in all this dark hour and everything, that everything's the way it is, that he has come and he's prepared a table for us.
Right.
Feeding us his word. Where else would we go? Nobody else wants it. Everybody else wants to shut the word out.
Yeah.
But he has come and said, I've got a people. I'm feeding them.
Yeah.
And I'm taking care of them. Amen?
Amen.
And no matter what happens, he's going to take care of us.
Amen.
And we just appreciate that. Let's just pray just for a moment. Lord, we are so thankful, God, for all that you've done in this day. We're so glad, Lord, that as I heard your prophet saying that he'd look and see coming into churches and preachers, pastors would be fumbling around trying to find something to say, like there wasn't anything there to talk about in your word. And he said eventually they'd just get off on some program of man. I'm so glad, Lord, that your word is alive to us this day. God, that you've done something to make this Bible become alive, become a new book to us. And that it speaks to us, Lord. And as we see you confirming these things and we behold your beauty, we're so thankful, Lord. We realize that without this, we would be just like those sheep out there in the field with a wolf approaching. But God, you're protecting us and keeping us. And we just want to give our thanks to you, Lord, in gratitude, not just in our words, but in our daily life, just to show honor and thankfulness to you for all that you've done. We pray, God, that you would go out and reach out and get each one of your people, those lost sheep that are out there still. We ask, God, that you bring them to the same confidence, the same understanding, same revelation. And Lord, where we're lacking, we pray, God, you continue to bring us higher into your presence and these truths to be resonant in our experience. We love you, Lord. And as always, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. He's so wonderful.
Yes.
So merciful. I am sorry. I preached all this time with this other microphone on, so it probably sounded a little bit weird to people on streaming. It's because I had both microphones on. I forgot to turn it off. But anyway, let's sing one of those songs that Brother Elijah had a little while ago. I'm reaching out to you.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know. Accepted.